Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From The Athletic. Of course, he's on Around the Horn on ESPN and Sirius XM NBA Radio. Frank Isola is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Holla. I always root against Woody Page, by the way, Frank. I don't know why, but I always root against Woody when he's on. It doesn't matter who's against him. He's the foil for me on that show there. I don't know about you.
I think he's a career leader in wins and appearances. I just want to be in the top 10 in appearances, and I'm good with that.
I feel like
I'm like a middle reliever. I'm all about the appearances.
Right, you're getting some holds.
Exactly. It's all Browns all the time for you guys, isn't it?
Pretty much now.
It dominates the city. It's not like, you know, Frank, after I worked for years in New York and you know, baseball, football mix, here people could talk about the Browns 24/7, 365 days a year. Everybody's into it.
I remember going in a Nick game in, man, it might have been like February or March in Detroit, and I was driving to the game, listening to the radio. They were talking Michigan, Ohio State football, and the game wasn't going to be obviously until the end of November. So it's like,
oh, yeah,
still about 8 months away. Did Odell Beckham show up for OTA?
A couple days.
Right.
He's in the mix.
Did you hear about that one great catch that he made against the Cowboys that year?
We certainly have.
Yeah, we have.
But I find it funny, Frank.
You know the Giants lost that game, right?
They did lose that game. Well, the Giants aren't very good.
I'm sorry?
I said the Giants aren't very good.
No. Did you know that, like, that catch he made, which is an unbelievable catch?
Yeah.
Have you noticed how, like, receivers now at every level must have something to do with the gloves? Even, like, you see, like, peewee kids making, like, these crazy catches now that they stick to the glove. The guy's an unbelievable athlete. He's just not out there enough, and he's only been in one playoff game, and he's 0-1. But he is great.
He is great. We'll see. Are you saying you don't think he's going to be great here?
No, I think he'll be fine. Like to me, with a lot of the players, like, what did he say? I won't be like, we're going to be like the Patriots. And then, of course, he doesn't show up for OTA. Just like Le'Veon Bell in New York, you know, he talks a lot, and then he didn't show up for OTAs. It's always like the guys that talk a lot that seem to, like, produce the least, I always find. So,
well,
but he's got a chance. It's going to be a fun year there. I mean, I was all over the Browns last year. I got into them during the Hard Knocks.
Right.
And it was so obvious that the coaching staff wasn't on the same page. I mean, that was – Hard Knocks did a great job with that. And, yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield had – they were fun. Like, I could sit down and actually watch one of their games. They were actually pretty entertaining, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they were the first time we could watch them and enjoy it in, like, a decade. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a struggle. But, yeah, they should be really good this year. And Beckham can only shut people up with his play on the field, not the talking.
That's
we know
right.
That. That's
no,
it.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, he hasn't done enough lately. So, you know, he's got – you know, the interesting look. He's obviously a terrific athlete and everything like that. He travels, you know, in pretty impressive circles, but now it's going to be about production. And he didn't play enough last year, and there was one ever playoff game. He didn't have a good game. So.
He's got a lot more talent around him here, which is going to help. It's going to be interesting. If the Browns get the chemistry together, they should win a lot of games. We'll see. Got a lot to prove.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, Frank, you know, today it just got announced, before we get to the Cavs coaching hire and stuff, but they just announced the all rookie team, and the top five players in the draft finished as the top five vote getters. I don't know if that's – I mean, maybe it's happened before. I don't know. I don't pay close enough attention to it, I guess. But do you think guys are getting better at drafting, or is this just luck the first year that it just so happens the top five picks ended up as the five best players this year?
Well, I mean, you know, if you are a top selection, chances are you're going to a crap team. And if you go to a crap team, you're going to have a chance to play a little bit more. So that has a lot to do with it. I mean, clearly, we're basing it on statistics, not necessarily wins, especially with Luka Doncic. And I give Trae Young a lot of credit, because Trae Young, everyone was ready to give up on him, you know, 2-3 months into it. And he played really well down the stretch. In fact, I thought he played better than Luka Doncic probably over the last 30 to 40 games. I think that has a lot to do with it. You know, these guys are going to these teams, and they're getting an opportunity to play right away, which is the right thing to do. If your team was terrible enough to get a high pick, you might as well play the guy.
We're talking with Frank Isola, The Athletic, ESPN, Sirius XM, NBA Radio. Colin Sexton here in Cleveland did finish on the second team. You know, first half of the year, kind of like you mentioned with Trae Young, first half of the year, we were killing this guy.
Yeah.
He was terrible, couldn't do anything right. He got better every month, it seemed, and he played much better in the second half. What do you think of him going forward?
Yeah, and I also think a lot of it has to do with the position that you play. You know, when you're a point guard in the NBA, it's so tough, especially early on, just learning the league, the physical nature of the game, obviously playing in more games. Now, if you look over the years, you know, like a guy like Chauncey Billups, he bounced around a while before he finally found a home. I mean, Steve Nash started out in Phoenix, went to Dallas, then went back to Phoenix before he kind of found himself. So there's been a lot of point guards over the years, even a guy like Victor Oladipo. I mean, he went Orlando, Oklahoma. They had him on Oklahoma City, and they, you know, he was part of that Paul George trade. And look at how he played two seasons ago, his first year in Indiana. So I think it takes one. I also think for Colin Sexton, he went to a team that when the year started, they had aspirations. Hey, maybe we could, like, compete for the eighth spot, like, the first year without LeBron. And then things went south pretty quickly, and a lot of guys got hurt. And I think once the pressure was off him a little bit, it probably helped Colin Sexton a lot, because I thought he did really well for himself, and he's obviously a piece that they could build around. But it's like anything. You know, these guys all have to get better. Look at Steph Curry. You know, his, like, rookie year, he didn't do a lot, but, you know, he worked at it and got a lot better. So for a guy like Colin Sexton, he certainly has the ability. It's whether or not, you know, you kind of have the work ethic and drive to want to get better.
What do you make of the hire of John Beilein as head coach?
It's an interesting one, you know, kind of, because originally, you know, you heard reports that they were thinking about going with, like, more of, like, a younger developmental coach. But there's no doubt about it that John Beilein is a terrific coach. He has to know what he's getting into. I mean, the guy, he's smart enough, he's been around long enough to know that it's a big adjustment going from college to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I also think what will help is, in his case, when you're going to take over a younger team, I think it's easier probably for a college coach to transition into the NBA, taking over a rebuilding team, kind of similar to what happened with Brad Stevens in Boston. You know, when he first joined the Boston Celtics, it was a team that was rebuilding, and they had a lot of young players. So I think that part of it will help it. And you talk to people that know, and they all they do is rave about him as a coach, especially an offensive coach. So it's an interesting hire. I don't think it's necessarily a bad hire. I think it's probably a little bit more outside of the box than what we were expecting. But like I said, you talk to, you know, college basketball coaches, pro coaches, and he's been on the NBA radar for a long time. So from that standpoint, it's not surprising.
Frank, more impressive with the Warriors, you know, on the verge of potentially winning another championship, which would be their fourth in 5 years. More impressive, this run by the Warriors or what the Spurs did, you know, for roughly 15 years and winning their five championships with different groups?
Yeah, that's a good call. I would probably have to say the Warriors, just because nobody does this anymore in any sport. You know, nobody goes to the finals five straight years. You know, they have a chance to win three in a row, four out of the last 5 years. And they've done it, you know, so many different ways. That first group had Harrison Barnes. Then they had, you know, obviously Kevin Durant, who was the finals MVP 2 years in a row. And Durant could come back at some time. But just look at the way that Curry, Draymond Green especially, and Klay Thompson have played. I think for Curry, it's almost like we all kind of forgot how good he was. And like I keep saying, you know, we hear all the time, whether it's Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Damian Lillard. It's all we heard about how great Damian Lillard is. You put him on the Warriors with Kevin Durant and those guys, and he would be this much better. Steph Curry's better than all of them. You know, you don't have to like Steph Curry if you don't want to. And, you know, he's a suburban jump shooter who grew up in, like, a wealthy family, an NBA family, whatever. You want to knock him, go right ahead. He's better than all these guys. Maybe there are certain parts of, you know, where Westbrook's a better athlete. I get it. Kyrie Irving could probably dribble the ball better. Whatever the case, James Harden's a better scorer. But when the spotlight is on, nobody performs like Steph Curry. And the role that he's been on ever since Kevin Durant went down is phenomenal. And I keep joking around about it. Wasn't he born in the same hospital as LeBron James?
Akron General.
Right?
Yep.
So if he gets one more title, he is officially, that would give him four and LeBron three. That would make Steph Curry the king of Akron.
No, I think he, we are not accepting it. We are not. It's not acceptable.
He has to get a tattoo that says the king of Akron, because if we're going by championships, it's Steph Curry.
You think Steph Curry could go down as a top 10 player of all time?
He might have a chance to, especially if they win next this year and if they can make another run. Look at the performances in the playoffs. First of all, how many teams in the NBA, and I get they have unbelievable talent there, take the best player off their team, and you tell me if they're winning five games in a row. Take LeBron off the Cleveland Cavaliers all those years that they made it to a finals, mm-hmm. and how are they going to do in five playoff games without LeBron? How would Miami have done without LeBron? Are they going to win five games in a row, including three on the road in the playoffs? The Toronto Raptors without Kawhi Leonard, I think they would score about 30 points. Nobody on that darn team wants to shoot, except for Kawhi Leonard. So very few teams could win a game, much less five in a row, without their star player. And that game in Houston was ridiculous. I mean, the guy doesn't score a point in the first half. He ends up with 33, 25 in the fourth quarter. And I understand he made a million free throws, but that's the brilliance of Steph Curry. He makes pressure free throws. And that's, you know, that's the sign of a clutch player and a great player and his mental toughness. I think he really has a chance. Two-time MVP. It's almost like the two things missing are a finals MVP, which, you know, he still could conceivably get. Mm-hmm. And one of the more minor things, I guess, would be an Olympic gold medal, and he would have an opportunity to get that if he wanted to play. The issue is, does he want to dedicate this summer to the national team, which, you know, which basically runs all through August and half of September, and then you go back the next year to Japan to go for Olympic gold medal. So those are kind of like the two things missing from this, like, ridiculous resume.
But who are you bumping out of the top 10 to put him in?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know,
Are you taking him? You're taking him over Isaiah Thomas?
I was thinking about that today.
Yeah,
I did the radio show with Brian Scalabrine. We talked about it. I mean, don't you almost have to at this point?
But wasn't Thomas the better all-around player?
Isaiah made it to three finals, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did beat a very good Laker team, Magic Johnson, to get hurt in that series. I think at this point you have to. I think he was a better scorer. Look at the longevity. Isaiah stopped playing when he was, what, like 33?
Mm-hmm.
I think Isaiah's time in the NBA was actually pretty short, and Isaiah got screwed. Isaiah should have been on the original Dream Team. That was not right, keeping him off that team. And remember, back in 80, they boycotted the Olympics, and he would have been in the Olympics and didn't get a chance to go. I would put him over there. I think just in terms, he's a different kind of player, and the game has changed so much. I mean, look at the shooting ability of Steph Curry. It's ridiculous, and he still can get to the basket, and the movement off the ball. He can play with the ball in his hands, and, you know, he's clearly a lot better even without the ball because the constant movement and running around screens, and Draymond Green knows where to get in the ball, and Looney, Kevon Looney has been a better player for them than DeMarcus Cousins. Everyone ranted and raved about, DeMarcus Cousins. It's an embarrassment of riches that the Warriors got DeMarcus Cousins. They're better with Looney. They're better with Looney than without Looney Tunes. There you go. You could use that one.
Frank, you think the fans in the Bay Area are part of them, like, would like to win this championship without Kevin Durant?
I think there's a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. I definitely do believe that, because they're probably coming to grips with the fact that he's likely going to leave. And I think the team has kind of been re-energized. Now, Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, they say all the right things after the game that they want. Kevin Durant back. We need him in order to win. And I still think they might need him in order to win, especially if they had to play a team like Milwaukee. But it's almost like, you know, no knock on Kevin Durant, but it's almost like they got their team back. Because, you know, now they're still playing at a high level. They're four wins away from winning another championship. They did win one without him. They have a chance to win another one. And maybe he doesn't play. It's funny, too, because I wonder how much it'll affect Kevin Durant just in terms of his legacy, what people might say. And we know that Kevin Durant's been a pretty sensitive guy.
Yeah.
Be perfect for the Knicks. Everyone thinks he's coming to the Knicks. He'll come to the Knicks at a time where everyone's criticizing him and his legacy and saying, you know, they would have won all these championships without him anyway.
I can't – the weird thing about this, you know, all this talk, I get it, it's New York, but, like, Durant and Kyrie, the two biggest complainers in the league, playing in New York. Dolan is the worst owner. I understand these guys want to play in New York. Do they really want to play for James Dolan?
You know, it's weird, too. Remember when Adam Silver said right around the All-Star break that he, you know, he said, I'm talking to NBA players, I found that generally a lot of them are unhappy. And I immediately thought of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving,
yeah,
who
kind miserable.
Of come across as always unhappy.
Yeah.
And it's funny that those are the two guys that have been linked to the Knicks. I keep thinking to myself, if you're miserable now, wait till you get to New York. And especially, like, think about the situations they're in. Kevin Durant is in one of the greatest basketball situations that any player has ever been in his career. You play for a great organization. They're moving into a brand new building. You got a great city. You got unbelievable teammates, a stable front office, a great head coach.
Yeah.
Same thing in Boston, even though it was a disappointing ending to what happened. And then you're going to come to the Knicks, who won 17 games this season. And if you think about it, if you go back over the last 20 years, guys that have come to New York, whether it's been players, coaches, or executives, has being in New York help your legacy or hurt your legacy? I don't know. Why don't you go get Phil Jackson, Larry Brown, Isaiah Thomas on the phone? Go get Carmelo Anthony. Go ask these guys if being in New York helped or hurt their legacy.
Not to mention, especially in Durant, not as much with Kyrie, but in Durant's case, you go from the soft West Coast media to the New York media.
Yeah, but I would say this, though. I think that is like a little overrated, the New York media. I just think there's a lot of us. I think the New York media is pretty soft, to be honest.
You think your colleagues are a bunch of wimps, is that what you're saying?
I mean, you go look up anybody criticizing the Knicks that won 17 games this year. We used to get on the Knicks when Patrick was on the team for not getting to an NBA Finals.
So why are your colleagues being soft? What's going on there?
I think people have gotten soft over the years. I think it's all about the chase for access. So people have softened up a little bit. And the players have gotten smart. Hey, LeBron, look at the way LeBron handled things. LeBron was like, you're either with me or you're against me. If you're against me, you're out. I don't know. I think the media in general has changed a little bit. I think there are some markets, like Philadelphia's pretty tough. Toronto's tough. Cleveland will be tough on the Browns if they don't win. But I think the New York media gets a little overrated. Oh. When it comes to that, to being tough.
All right. They've become soft. I was tough when I worked there. I always thought it was. No. They've gone soft since I left.
Well, hey, all right. Yeah. Let's think about it.
I feel like the Mets beat reporters beat the Mets up a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It's a little bit open season on them. But the Giants don't get beaten up that much.
They should be.
Hey, Eli Manning, you don't think Eli Manning gets a pass?
He does.
Eli Manning is fine. He's fine with the fact that I got Daniel Jones. I can have sleep at night knowing that Eli Manning's going to be okay with the because Eli Manning hasn't done anything in 5 years. But last week, the day of the draft lottery, the New York Post has on the front page a priest, and it's like praying for Zion and how the Knicks got, you know, a rabbi, a priest, and a witch to try to – you know, rid the team of the curse. A curse has nothing to do with it.
Oh, my God. People are nuts.
Like, why are teams bad and why are teams good? Look at the New England Patriots, right? Look at, you know, the Boston Red Sox. Look at, you know, any team and look at the San Antonio Spurs. It's good ownership, good front office, smart coaches, and, a little bit of luck plays into it. To just give the Knicks a pass for having the worst record in the NBA the last 18 years, calling it a curse? I mean, come on. Why don't we do a documentary like they used to do for the Boston for the Red Sox, and we'll have Ben Affleck and Matt Damon, you know, telling us about, you know, how there's a curse of the Bambino. It's all like nonsense. It has nothing to do with that. It's bad management a lot of times.
No doubt, Frank. Good stuff,
thanks,
man.
Buddy.
Thanks for joining us.
All right, guys.
There you go, Frank Isola.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.